Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show is brought to you, as always, by the good folks over at touringplans.com. It is the holiday season, and, you know, we're all looking for that perfect gift for our friends. Hey, if your friend's a Disney nut, you know, maybe you have an online friend that you want to get something for, you know, kind of small but worthwhile. How about a premium subscription to touringplans.com? It's going to be $12.95, and it's going to get that Disney fan in your life a year's worth of information to have a better Disney vacation. Think about that. They're going to stay out of lines and save up to 4 hours in line each day of their Disney trip. And think about it. If they're going down for just a couple of days or many days over the next 365, they're going to get so much enjoyment out of this great gift during the holiday season. All you need is their email address and $12.95, and you're going to put a smile on their face. Check it all out today over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 793 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, which is now Merry Mouse Radio, by the way, so check it out. And we are back here on a Monday talking a little bit of Disneyland today. We're going to switch it up here during the holiday season. We know that you're probably frantically, well, everybody's working hard on a Monday back at work, but you're probably doing a little online shopping, or maybe after work today you got to go out and try to find a gift because, guys, time is running out for the holidays. And we know how that is, so slow down or just take us right along with you as we talk a little Disneyland with a great friend of the show. She's back from up east. We have Heather. How's it going, Heather? Happy holidays.
It's going great. Happy holidays to you, too.
All righty. So let's talk a little Disneyland today, you know, because you, I know that you were down there and celebrating your 25th wedding anniversary. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And you guys had record high temperatures. So nothing better to talk about than when it's freezing in the Midwest and on the East Coast. Then some record high temperatures from back in May out in California.
Yeah, I could use a little bit of that heat now around here, for sure.
That's it.
So it was our 25th anniversary. We had been to Disneyland one other time, really because we had friends out there. And we stayed with them. So this was the first time that we stayed, quote unquote, on property. And so it was just my husband and I. And it was funny because when I was, you know, when it gets closer and you start looking at like the weather.com and everything, you could see every day for the week before, 70s and perfect. Every day the week after, 70s and perfect. And our 5 days there was 100 plus temperatures.
Holy cow, that's quite unusual for California, isn't it?
Very unusual. But like they say, the cliche, it's a dry heat. So it was totally manageable. It wasn't like Orlando hot. It wasn't Animal Kingdom hot, as Ricky says.
That's good. I mean, because, yeah, if it's 100 here in St. Louis, the humidity is always 90% like Orlando. So it's stifling. So at least, you know, it sounds like you put a good spin on it anyhow. You made the best that you could of it.
It was really fine. It was just an unusual situation.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. You know, you said you stayed on site and kind of got the Disneyland resort experience on this trip. So tell us about your accommodations.
Yeah. So we spent the first three nights at what's called a Good Neighbor Hotel out there. And for Disney World people who don't kind of have the lay of the land for the Anaheim park, it's you're staying off property is if closer than staying on property at Disney World. You are right across the street from the parks. There's lots of choices. And the Good Neighbor hotels are also affiliated with Disney, so you get some of the perks like, you know, early admission and stuff like that. So we had stayed at a place called the Camelot, and it was literally practically diagonally across from the entrance of Disneyland. You could have held your breath while you did the walk and gotten there. So
is that now, okay, so these Good Neighbor hotels, they are, you know, they're independently owned, but they're in a relationship with Disney. So there's like a certain level of quality that Disney requires of them, and they have to have certain amenities to be deemed a Good Neighbor hotel. Now, how would you compare the Camelot as far as if you were comparing it to the system down at Walt Disney World with values, moderates, deluxes? How did you feel the accommodations would have been, you know, which category would you put that in?
I would say for the room itself, the accommodations actually staying there, I would put in a moderate category. It was it was spacious, comfortable, clean, nothing fancy, and it certainly didn't have any of the Disney touches, but it was there was a lot of space. The outside, I would say, more of a value. It's just a hotel. The one we stayed at is called the Camelot, so it had a little bit of a kind of a Tudor look to it, but what grounds they did have were completely neatly manicured, and it was absolutely fine. And the price range was about moderate. I think we ended up paying about $140 a night.
Yeah, not too bad. And now, yep. Let me ask you this, because you're a Walt Disney World veteran as well, and this is your first time really kind of getting the resort experience at Disneyland. How did you feel about the walking around, you know, being so close? That's a huge advantage, I would think. You know, I would assume when I'm out there that it'd be great because, you know, I can go to the park and don't have to be worried about getting on a bus. But part of the charm of Walt Disney World is maybe catching a boat or a monorail. So now that you've had time to kind of dissect this and let it sink in here for a few months, you know, what are your thoughts on the proximity and either missing out on the transportation system or not having to deal with the transportation system?
I lean on the not having to deal with the transportation system because it's so convenient to be able to walk from park to park to Downtown Disney to back to your room. Literally, there's no corner of the parks that you can walk to and from that's longer than, I'd say, 30 minutes at the most. Mostly, if you're from entrance to anything, is 10 minutes. So your day is just much more efficient because you are not wasting any time on transportation. I mean, I do like the friendship boats, you know, more of just a relaxing and that sort of thing. But I certainly didn't miss the buses.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when you think about it, because you were there for 3 days, and 3 days at Walt Disney World, if you're staying at, say, you know, Pop Century or All Stars or even like an Animal Kingdom Lodge, you probably do spend, you know, in 3 days, I would guess, in transit between your hotel and the parks, maybe 3 hours. So maybe that's three more hours you got to play in the parks.
Absolutely. And it just makes everything just more relaxing in that way, that your time is just better spent, that you can sit and on a bench and eat an ice cream and take some time and relax because you're not, oh gosh, I got to get to the bus because we have this ADR at this, you know, there's none of that.
That's good. Well, before we get into your 3 days in the parks, which we want to kind of dissect and talk about what you did and all the fun you had, how's transportation from the East Coast over to the West Coast? That's a long trip.
It's long. We went direct this time. So it's about, if I recall, about 5 hours. So if you're lucky, if you can sleep and, you know, knock out a couple hours sleeping or, you know, have a good movie downloaded, it's not terrible, but it is a long flight.
All right. Well, let's dive into day one. It looks like you guys started off with lunch at Hungry Bear, which I'm not familiar with. So any place called the Hungry Bear, though, I'm game. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a great little spot. It's all the way in the back of the park in an area called Critter Country. And it was a place that I wanted to try to get to last time. And just, you know, you can only eat so much food. But what's wonderful about it is, first of all, the food's great. They're pretty well known for something called the fried green tomato sandwich. And it was absolutely fantastic. Really, really tasty. Has like a spicy slaw on it. Came with fries, and that was great. But it also has lovely outdoor seating that overlooks the rivers of America. So you can see either the Mark Twain or the Columbia sailing ship go by as you're having your lunch or your dinner. And it's just a nice spot. And because we were starving because we were still on East Coast time, so we got there right at 11, so there was nobody there. So it was a nice way to start the trip. Kind of felt like we had the whole park to ourselves in that corner.
Sounds good. Sign me up. It sounds like Pecos Bills, but, you know, a little bit nicer. You know, with a lot of upgrades there.
Yeah, really good. All of the quick serve food there is exceptional.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And I can't wait to get out there. I have a reason to get out there in 2015, so I'm going to see what I can do. So, all right, well, let's talk about, you mentioned a couple of, in your notes here, a couple of the roller coasters, and it was your first time on the Matterhorn, which is, you know, a classic Disneyland attraction. But also, you said it was just awesome being on the refurbished Big Thunder Mountain. So just tell us about those two experiences.
Yes, these two coasters were a study in contrasts. The last time we were there, the Matterhorn was under refurb, and I had heard it was kind of a herky-jerky coaster, but I kind of assumed because it had been refurbed that it was going to be smoother, and it was not. I mean, I'm glad that we did it, but if you have back problems or don't want to have back problems, I would not go on the Matterhorn. It was a very, very rough coaster. It's a beautiful attraction, and the area is lovely, but man, that's a harsh ride. But yeah, the big Thunder Mountain there also had a refurb that really made a huge difference, because it is smooth as glass and so fun. And then there is a scene out there that they added that we don't have in Orlando, that I won't do any spoilers, but it's very impressive and it's very fun. So gosh, I think we probably rode that over the course of our trip probably 5 times. We loved it so much.
Wow, stamp of approval with that. I
hope they bring it to Orlando, because it really changes the ride.
Cool. Let's hope. All right. So let's talk. You mentioned, because you guys went and spent a little bit of time in New Orleans Square, and I think everybody is, you know, in the Disney community knows that they've been making some changes with that and Club 33, and just, you know, areas where they were just like the heart of Disneyland, you know, like the classic Disneyland. And I believe the one place was the Court of Angels that has gone away. Again, never being there, but just researching things and listening to other shows. You were kind of sad about what you saw, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was only our second time there, so I don't have huge nostalgia, but New Orleans Square was one of my favorite places when we visited before. And that particular spot, that Court of Angels spot, was just so lovely. It was beautiful, the beautiful curved stairs and that cornflower blue railing, and we had pictures taken there, and it just made me kind of sad to see that. You know, I'm not one of those people that would chain myself to Mr. Toad's. I mean, I know things change, but the way this changed, it not only took something very beautiful away, but it made it so that only people that can afford to go to Club 33 can enjoy it. And that kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you there. I'm right with you. All right, so it looks like you had a fun evening, though, after this. You kind of went on some classic attractions, you know, some of the piece of cake, you know, just like we're going to lay back and to see what Disneyland's all about, the Columbia sailing ship, saw great moments of Mr. Lincoln, went over to Downtown Disney, had dinner, spent some time at the Grand Californian. So, you know, tell us about some of the highlights from your evening.
The ride on the Columbia was beautiful. It was right at dusk, and that's, again, it's very different from over in California. They have the paddle boat, but this one it's kind of like a pirate ship almost. It's really fun. So we got to experience that. And then the great moments with Mr. Lincoln was really fantastic. It's one of those attractions that, because you're in Walt's park, you feel like you're kind of coming face to face with him there. He was obviously instrumental in putting this together. You know, we know the history of the Mr. Lincoln animatronic, and also just the presentation is just as poignant and just as valuable to us, our lives today. And I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that we got to experience it.
Yeah, I'd really feel like, you know, especially an attraction like that, you could almost, it's almost like Walt sitting next to you and, you know, kind of, you know, all of a sudden you're back in, you know, 1955, 58, you know, something like that. Like, you've totally taken a step back in time.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, so tell us about dinner over at Downtown Disney.
So for this trip, I only made one reservation. So we kind of freewheeled it around. And so we stopped at Downtown Disney, a place called Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen. So it's kind of a New Orleans themed restaurant. And depending on where you're seated, it's some areas a casual. We were seated in a pretty fancy pants dining room, you know, white tablecloths and everything. So it was a little bit, you know, fancier than I expected. But we just had a really great meal. Food was fantastic. I kind of got suckered into, you know, at the beginning of the meal, he said, "You know, do you want to order the chocolate souffle?" I think they do that on the cruise ships, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm not much of a dessert person. So I was like, but I guess I should. And so he got us in on that. It was good. It was I probably wouldn't have ordered it, but I just felt like, well, I guess I have to do this. But we had a fantastic meal in the downtown Disney area there. It is really alive with kinetic energy. There's just something about it that feels more, there's more of a heartbeat to it. And I'm really hoping that Disney Springs kind of gains that feel once that's done, because it definitely feels like you're in a community rather than a shopping, you know, tourist destination.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I think it has to do with, you know, again, you know, Disneyland being more of a locals park where, you know, hey, we need something to do tonight. Let's go over to downtown Disney. You know, and I think that's easier to do probably in California than Florida. But you're right. I hope Disney Springs brings just, like you said, like its own heartbeat, like its own atmosphere there, you know, where it's not just a bunch of stores you're going in and out. Like there's just, you know, entertainment happening here and there spontaneously. That's what I'm really hoping for.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys went over to Grand Californian and had some after-dinner drinks and all that stuff, so good nightcap there.
Yeah, we were pretty tired, but I couldn't resist going over to the Grand Californian. It's absolutely stunning resort. It kind of has a Wilderness Lodge feel to it. And we just kind of nosed around, sat in front of the fireplace, had a couple of drinks, and just really enjoyed the resort. And again, with the close proximity, I think guests really have more of an opportunity to spend time in these resorts. You don't have to be staying there to enjoy almost all of the amenities. So you definitely want to do that. Stop in there and check it out.
Very true. Just drop in, you know, sometimes have a meal there. Sometimes just get a snack there. Later on, you had ice cream for lunch, I see. So, you know, grab an ice cream, you know, do something fun. Who cares? You know, have a cupcake. But yeah, it gives you an excuse to check out these great themed areas. So let's go to day two. And day two is your Disney's California Adventure day. So you're over there rope dropping DCA. And everybody is going to guess where you go first. Yes, Radiator Racer. So walk us through your entire day over at DCA.
So this is what brought us back. When we were on the last trip, they were weeks away from the grand opening of Cars Land. And you know, that was the siren song that pulled us back. So, yes, absolutely, rope drop. Again, being so close, rope drop is easy to accomplish, even for a late sleeper like me. So we just trucked right on down to Route 66 and got in line to experience Radiator Springs Racers. And it is just absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. This is, I think, Disney Imagineering at its best. Absolutely stunning scenery. And I did not look at a lot of or any YouTubes of the dark portion of the ride, which I'm so glad that I did not know what to expect at all. And there's show scenes in there that are just absolutely stunning. So fun, so cute. And then also when you're out doing the actual race ride, it's just so stunning and beautiful, and the music that they have along with the different areas that you're riding. You know, there's a peaceful ride when you're kind of going under a falls, and then there's the, you know, the actual racing part, and there's a lot of adrenaline. It's just great. So it was just the two of us. Instead of bothering with fast passes after the initial ride, we just single rided it the rest of the time. So we probably got about four times on Radiator Springs. It was fantastic.
Making me jealous. It sounds like it's Imagineering at its best. And that's what I've heard from many, many people.
Absolutely. Yep.
Excellent. Well, let's go over to Carthay Circle Anniversary Lunch. So again, I think this is one of the places that if you've never been to Disneyland like myself, I'm extremely curious, obviously, about Radiator Springs and everything going on there with just how beautiful it is. But Carthay Circle really has me intrigued. So how was your anniversary lunch over there?
Well, funnily enough, I had only made this one reservation. I was very, very excited about it. And about 2 weeks before we left, I read a ho-hum review from our friends at the Disney Food Blog. And AJ pretty much likes everything. And I was like, oh, So I checked in with a couple of other, you know, Disneyland people, and I'm like, is this the right place to go? This is a, you know, special lunch. And I was assured that we were going to have a good time. So I kept it, and we went. And I was absolutely not disappointed one bit. The building itself is gorgeous. There's a beautiful fresco on the ceiling with the scenes from Snow White. It's elegant. It's beautiful. They have a lovely lounge where they serve interesting drinks where they have, if you order, for instance, a martini, they have this contraption that forms this absolutely perfect, round, clear sphere of ice. And they kind of put a big show on about how they make it and everything. So that was a nice way to start the meal. And then we moved into the dining room, and we had heard, or I'd heard, that the appetizers were just stunning there. So we decided to just kind of do all appetizers, and every bite that we had was just really, really amazing. And the service was spot on, formal yet friendly, which is kind of what you want in a restaurant that caliber. And we just enjoyed it so much. Wouldn't be the last time we went there.
You know, I think that too, that's a good lesson for our listeners, you know, because I got to train myself to do this too. It's when you're so connected with listening to Disney podcasts or reading blogs and websites and message boards and so forth. You know, I always say, and I got to force myself to follow my own thoughts here, is that don't trust what you read online, because everybody has different tastes and different preferences. That, you know, that could be absolutely true of somebody that you really believe in. I mean, like AJ, I love AJ. She's spot on. She does such a great job. But you know what? What I'm expecting may be slightly different, and what kind of day she was having that day might be different than what I'm thinking. So I say everybody should give something a shot and then make your own judgment.
Yeah. It was great. It's just that kind of thing just sets me to the vapors if I'm, you know, planning things.
That's
out.
True. I'm with you. All right. So that evening you went back over to Cars Land, and I've heard it's better at night. So you obviously took that advice and went over and saw that, but ended the night again over in Downtown Disney with some snacks.
Yep. We just headed back there because our lunch had kind of worn off. So we headed down to Downtown Disney, and they have this place in the middle of the, I mean, when I say the middle, I mean right in the middle, an open bar. It's kind of a circular bar, and it just, you know, with California, when the weather is typically awesome all the time, no awnings, no umbrellas, just a bar, just right in the middle. And so it's a great place to people watch, people bustling back and forth. We had a couple cocktails and just a light snack, but it was just a nice way to wind down the evening before we walked on back.
Sounds good. All right, so day three, you guys are rope dropping again over at Disneyland this time and heading to, as you mentioned, Big Thunder, and your first time on Haunted Mansion, really.
Yeah, well, the last trip that we went, I tried to hit all of the either unique to Disneyland rides or rumored better than Disney World attractions. And I had heard the Haunted Mansion was, you know, equivalent, if not less than. But this trip, you know, there was a lot of ride closures. I'm grateful that we got all the ones we did before. Pirates was closed. Small World was closed. Just a lot of things that we normally would have done. So we hit the Haunted Mansion, and I'm so glad that we did it because I kind of had forgotten about the whole stretching room. That in the original Haunted Mansion, the stretching room isn't actually an elevator. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of forgot that fun fact, so I enjoyed that. And it was pretty much the same. There's one or two scenes that are missing there, but now I can say I did it.
That's it. I mean, again, give it a shot. So yep. This is the day it was really hot, so you had ice cream for lunch. I approve of that any day of the week, even if it's you know, if it's 12 degrees today, as you're listening to the show on the East Coast or in the Midwest, you can still do ice cream for lunch. It's life. So but you also mentioned you saw Chef Oscar. I'm unsure. Tell me about Chef Oscar.
Well, this is a super Disney geeky.
See, I don't even know this one. This is where you got to teach me.
Chef Oscar is an honorary chef. Has retired. I think he retired probably about 10 years ago. But he is the longest working cast member. He was there on opening day in 1955, I believe. And he's worked at this Disneyland chef, Carnation Cafe, ever since. I think he came up through the ranks and became the chef. So he is there kind of milling around with the big tall white hat on and greeting customers. And, you know, I just saw him and my heart went, oh, it's Chef Oscar. And no, I didn't even tell my husband. I'm like, he's not even going to know what I'm talking about. But it was just one of those things that you see and read about. And then I saw him with my own eyes. I was like, cool.
It's probably like one time I met Art at the beach club, Art the greeter. And I was like, oh, it's Elvis. You know, it's like, this is it, man. And everybody's like, man, he's the guy that opens the door with the trades pins. You know, it's like, no, this is Art, man. You don't understand. He's in all the videos and he's a legend. That's cool. So this, you also mentioned that another first was riding the monorail. So, you know, I know it's not a transportation system as much as it is down at Walt Disney World, more of an attraction, but what's that like?
Well, it is teeny tiny. It's hot. There's no air conditioning. And I recommend riding it, though, mostly because if you, it has an example of the limitations of the park. You see a lot of backstage riding on that monorail. It's really surprising. You see the backs of buildings, you see trucks, you see generators. And it's just one of those things that reminds you of the differences between the parks.
Cool. Yeah, it definitely shows why Walt wanted the blessing of size, as he said.
Absolutely.
All right, so to wrap up this evening, it looks like you guys said you tried to do World of Color over at the Cove Bar, but ended up at Trader Sam. So you know what? I think that, you know, as awesome as World of Color is, and I can't wait to see that in person someday, Trader Sam's, I've heard, not such a bad trade-off.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the times that the internet led me astray. We had a good view of World of Color on our previous trip, so I wasn't as concerned about seeing it spot on. So I had read in several different blogs and whatnot that you can have a seat at this Cove Bar, and it's not a straight-on view, but it's a nice, you know, everything's looks better when you have a nice cocktail in your hand.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
And I knew that, you know, that there was a chance that there would be a cover charge added to our bill if we were there during the shows. And then I was fine with that. So we walked up there in plenty of time. It was like a half hour before the show. And they're like, nope, we don't do that anymore. We close. So I was like, "Huh." And I didn't have another plan, so we sat down and I said, what to do? I know. Drinks at Trader Sam's. And so we kind of watched World of Color as we were walking by, saw a little bit of it, and then ended up at our favorite little tiki bar, Trader Sam's, which is so fun.
I'm excited for the version that's coming to the Polynesian.
I'm excited too.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. All right, so now day four looks awesome because you guys moved from your Good Neighbor Hotel, the Camelot, over to the Disneyland Hotel, escorted by a cast member. So, and you're also, well, tell us the surprise that happened for you on this day.
Yes, so we decided to end the trip on a high note and stay at the Disneyland Hotel, which I like to end our trips, if we can, moving up to some sort of a deluxe. It makes the end of the trip seem not so sad.
True.
And I just wanted to say that I had stayed there. So I wasn't quite sure how we were going to do this, because the Disneyland Hotel, you have to like go into the pass bag check into kind of like this Esplanade area and then walk through Downtown Disney. And I wasn't sure how we were going to handle our luggage. We just had a couple of rolling overhead bags. So I went up to the cast member and I told her that we were checking in, and they said, okay. And they didn't, they checked my purse, you know, like normal. They didn't open our suitcases, but we had a cast member that walked us all the way to the entrance to Downtown Disney to make sure that that was indeed where we were going with our bags. So we got to chat with him, and I just thought it was an interesting thing, and probably a tip for people, because I was thinking maybe we would have to take a cab to literally go all the way around, but we didn't need to do that because they had this whole service.
That makes me feel better, though, that they're thinking about that. You know, they're keeping everybody safe and just making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
Cool.
So we checked into the Disneyland Hotel. And the cast member said that we were chosen as the family of the day.
There you go.
But that was bittersweet because the what we got, we would get a certificate and we would have access to the concierge lounge. I forget what it was called, but it's high up enough that if there was fireworks, you could see the fireworks and you get all the benefits of the concierge, even though we weren't staying on concierge level. But we were going out to dinner that evening with our friends from California, so we would have no way to be able to enjoy it. So I thought on my feet and I thought to myself, maybe I said to him, we can't enjoy this perk and this is lovely, but maybe you should give it to another family so that they can have the experience. And I'm back in my mind, I'm thinking, maybe they'll upgrade us.
Exactly.
But they didn't. So we never saw the lounge or anything. I didn't want to take it and not use it. So we checked in. Room wasn't ready, and we had some breakfast, and then just began the day of just the lounging by the pool day.
That sounds good right about now.
Yeah. Well, when we stay at a deluxe, I like to take the day off from the park and really feel like we're getting every penny out of staying there. So
now, did you tell your friends though what happened to you earlier in the day? I mean, that had to have been a good story over dinner that evening.
I didn't want them to feel like
I love you guys. I could be.
there was no concierge experience that could have been better than spending time with them. We had a wonderful evening. They're great people, and they're the whole reason we've been to Disneyland twice, because I would have never gone to the West Coast if I hadn't met them.
Oh, that's sweet to hear. That's sweet. You see, that's where we're different. I'd be just nagging my friends like, you know what?
You'd be steaming. I can't believe it. I can't be
exactly. You guys are keeping me from... Anyway. All right. So your last day, it looks like you kind of did a best of kind of day and had a good time. So walk us through that final day, which, again, like you say, is always so so sad. But it sounds like you've had a great trip already. So what are the highlights?
Yeah, it was a great trip. The last day we rope dropped again and booted down to Radiator Springs, and it was down. And it was down all day. And I was really grateful that we got all the rides in, and we did hear people grumbling about it because there are some people that are just there for the day because it's a local park. So my advice is if you're in Carsland and you have a chance to ride, ride when you can, because the cast member did say that it does tend to break down quite a bit. But we had gotten a lot out of that, so I wasn't too bummed out about it. So we just kind of kicked around Road Toy Story, which is the same except for the queue. We did California Screaming, which is a fantastic, fantastic coaster. And I don't like big scary coasters. I always have this image of me being flung out into the atmosphere. but it's so smooth, and it's a great coaster. Checked out Soarin'. Their queue is so much better than the one we have in Orlando.
Yeah, you put great queue, and I'm thinking, well, any queue would be better than Florida, because what do you have there?
I know, the one in Orlando is like being at the dentist's office.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
This is an airplane hangar, and they have wonderful photography of different aeronautical heroes, your Amelia Earhart, and all kinds of pieces of airplane parts kind of artistically hung on the wall. It's just a nice presentation, and so I'm glad we went to that. We popped back into the Carthay Lounge and had some nice kind of tapas lunch, little cheese plate and a couple of sliders. And again, if you don't want to spring for the big fancy dinner, just go and sit in the lounge and just share a rack of sliders. It's really, really great. We tried the Luigi's Flying Tires, which was pretty funny because it's closing.
That's right. Yeah, you got to do that before it went away.
Yeah, and you can kind of understand it. It's just not working. It's just not working. The queue, again, oh my gosh, the queue they have. It's like you're in Luigi's shop with beautiful poster art, and it's just fantastic. I hope that they are able to kind of salvage it and save that queue, because it's worth it just for that. And then we did a loop around on the train, which is always a nice thing to do on the last day. And then we also did the castle walkthrough, which is a unique experience to Disneyland.
And then you closed out at
Trader Sam's for all around.
Oh, it's
so fun. It's just so fun. And, you know, it was right at the Disneyland Hotel, so it made perfect sense.
Well, it sounds like that was a great way to celebrate your 25th anniversary.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time.
Well, Heather, thanks so much for sitting down with us today and sharing this trip. It definitely warms us up here in the middle of winter. And happy holidays to you. And thank you so much for the support of the show, because I know you've been with us for a very, very long time. And I truly appreciate that.
Absolutely. I thank you for having me on. These podcasts are kind of a part of my scrapbook of all of our great trips. And it's fun to listen back. And I thank you for sharing your show with us.
All right. Anytime. And we'll talk again after your next big Disney adventure.
Woohoo!
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. And they have a touringplans.com premium subscription for Disneyland Resort as well. So if you're a Disneylander, hey. And it's actually a little bit cheaper because it's smaller out there. I guess it doesn't take as much work. Or you know what? We're talking $12.95 for all of Walt Disney World people. And that's a huge place with lots of lines that you can stay out of. And like I said in the pre-read, you know, what a better gift for somebody this holiday season, especially maybe an online friend, maybe a friend of, you know, you talk all the time every day. Surprise them with an upgrade. You know, give them another year of touringplans.com. All you need is their email and $12.95 and you're set. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show comes your way this Sunday night. That's right, December 21st at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. We are playing the best mix of Walt Disney World holiday audio, as well as those tracks you know and love all day and all night, every single day of the year, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And make your plans now. Don't forget, we do this every year on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so December 24th and 25th, we play nothing but Walt Disney World holiday audio, as well as those traditional standards from the Christmas that you know and love. Right there, we're your soundtrack for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day as you're opening the gifts, spending time with friends and family. Turn on MagicalMouseRadio.com and leave it on for your holiday celebrations. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And if you have a few minutes this week, we'd love a rating and a review over in the iTunes podcast store. That helps us spread the word about the show. And, you know, we love meeting new friends. It gives us more content to share here on Mondays. And of course, more friends to be made in the Disney community. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with this very, very busy week. One of the busiest weeks of the year. And hope that you warmed up by, you know, getting a little Disneyland talk here in the middle of December. So for Heather, I'm Mike, wishing you a terrific week. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading the show. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.